Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
630 Chad and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
In over the line, McDavid looking to the net, waiting the pass. Scores! Hyman with the goal. McDavid with the assist. That's 100 on the season for Connor McDavid.
You know, those three, obviously, are three of the greatest players to ever play, and to share, I guess, something with, you know, a little something with them, you know, it means a lot to me.
Around to the right.
54th of the season. Score number 18, shot. Hyman. The assist. His 100th of the season.
But obviously just thankful for my teammates, the staff here in Edmonton, coaches and everybody. But I feel very, very grateful for our staff here in Edmonton and all the players here.
You look at the players who've done Hall of Famers, beyond Hall of Famers, the best of the best, and now he's part of that list. The organization, all the players are extremely happy for him. Here's a guy that works so hard, puts team first all the time, and just have another accomplishment to his resume.
McDavid walks in, ditches. There it is! 100 assists! Connor McDavid setting up Hyman's 54th goal! The century mark!
That's how it all sounded last night as Connor McDavid joined Gretzky, Lemieux, and Bobby Orr as the only four men in NHL history to reach the 100 assist mark. Nikita Kucherov likely to join in the next day or so. Breaking news for you as we kick off the second hour of Oilers Now, which is brought to you by World of Spas. Just got a text to my own personal Ashley Fine Flores text line. Well, I guess all the media members did. Philip Roberg has been recalled from the AHL's Bakersfield Condors. Surprised? Well, you shouldn't be. I don't know what you would have been thinking. But he will likely factor into one of, if not both of, the next two games in Edmonton's season, rounding out the regular season, and then possibly a playoff option should it ever get to that. But he has looked real good by all accounts, including a coast-to-coast overtime winner for Bako last week. We will check in with head coach last week. That was Friday. We'll hear from Colin Chalk in the Farm Report in about a half hour. But right now, we're going to jump aboard with Rob Brown. I'll tell you first that some guests of Oilers Now receive gift cards to Japanese Village. Save $10 on all certified Angus beef New York steak dinners. For details, visit jvedmonton.ca. Love listening to them pre, post game, and sometimes otherwise, just like this. Once a week, anyway, on our show, brought to you by Montorio Homes, developing customized homes perfectly built to your lifestyle. Visit Montorio.ca. Rob, you got Brendan today. How's it going?
It's going very well. How are you tonight?
I am doing excellent. And I got to say, I think we shared in the pleasure of being in the building last night as the fans serenaded McDavid and the season-long pursuit, shall we say. I mean, ultimately a long effort and one made by a lot of people to make this happen. But when you're talking about joining those three players in Gretzky, Lemieux, and Orr officially, I think that says right there the significance of the accomplishment we all saw last night.
Well, it is. When we talk about Gretzky or Bobby Orr or Mario, as fans, we talk about, oh, yeah, I remember watching Gretzky play, who was the greatest ever. I remember watching Mario, who was one of the best that ever played the game. Or for me, my favorite player ever was Bobby Orr. So when you talk about those players, you're talking about the greatest that ever played. You're talking about the reasons that a lot of people started watching hockey or getting into hockey. So when you get your name thrown into that mix, as Connor McDavid did yet again with his assist yesterday, we right now are witnessing history. We, the fans of Edmonton and the media of Edmonton, are witnessing one of the greatest players ever to be playing on a nightly basis in front of us. It's not talking about yesteryear or watching videos of Wayne's brilliance or Bobby Orr or Mario. We're actually seeing it happening in real time. And I think that's what's so amazing. Every time that Connor sets another record, or every time he accomplishes something and it's in the same vein as Gretzky or Mario, all of those players, we're witnessing it. And someday we'll be able to sit back and say, I was there when he got his 100th assist, or I was there when he got his 150th point or 60th goal. And hopefully someday in the future we'll be saying, I was there when Connor McDavid lifted the Stanley Cup for the Edmonton Oilers. So we are very fortunate here in Edmonton.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with this piece of paper in my hand that has the 100 assists total on it, like the box score that they print out for the media at the end of games. And I'm like, I don't really want to get rid of this. I feel like this is a sort of a signifier that I was in-house when history happened, and so too were 18,000-plus others who made that moment so special. But it was a game otherwise, Rob, that was very difficult to watch. It was a slaughtering. The third period was dreadful, I thought, just from an entertainment standpoint. I mean, good grief. You see 9 goals go up in the first 37 or whatever it was minutes. But I won't ask you if you've been on the losing side of one of those. I'm more curious about the mindset for a player that's trying to stay focused. We saw Skinner cough up a pretty ugly goal, but I don't necessarily blame him when you're only getting like a couple of shots a period. So what do you make of how Edmonton sort of navigated what was an interesting situation last night?
Well, it was tough. I think we talked before the game, Reed and I, that this game could get out of hand. Just looking at the lineups, it was a huge mismatch. The San Jose Sharks last night, honestly, were a glorified American Hockey League team. They had 8 or 9 players up from the minors. They traded away any of the veterans that they had, or they've got injuries. Their goaltenders had a combined 5 NHL games between them. So this had a chance of getting out of hand, and they were coming in and playing against an Oilers team that had just lost 2 games in a row and getting their best player back. So just, it was a perfect storm for the Oilers, and an unfortunate storm for the San Jose Sharks. I honestly felt for the players on San Jose. I thought their work ethic was fine. They just, the Oilers worked just as hard, and the skill level was 5 times as high. So I felt for the goaltender, Devin Cooley, for San Jose, who was hung out to dry time and time again. I think that's his 6th ever NHL game, and he got hung in there for 8. The other kid, he comes in for his first ever time in the National Hockey League, and he gives up the big goal and assist to Connor McDavid. So that was a game that both teams wanted to end quickly. I think that the refs, the players, they wanted that third period to be played straight time, and there was going to be no whistles. And outside of Warren Fogle, who was going Mach 10 the entire third period, I think both teams in that third period had just tried to get out of it without an injury.
I'm howling in the dressing room as we're doing the post-game scrums, because somewhere in behind us, we can hear someone shout an expletive and turn around like, what's going on? And it was Desharnais upset. He was saying something to Vinny, not like mad. He's just like, man, I wanted to get you the hat trick so bad. I had the opportunity to set you up. And you could see how hard everyone was pushing for Fogle's first career hat trick. You've got Dylan Holloway with his first career 3-point game last night. And something to be said, I think, about the emergence of Holloway, and I've really liked his game. I think he's taking it to guys physically instead of being on the receiving end of that. And if there's offensive touch to be found somewhere, you know, in the lower portion of the lineup for him, even come playoff time, that's got to be a huge benefit. What have you seen since Holloway's recall, Rob?
Well, he's playing with more confidence, for one. For the longest time when he was up here, both this year and last, he's getting minimal minutes, you know, 8-9 minutes. being put in situations where he's third or fourth line. There's been times where he's made a mistake, and he knows after he's made the mistake he's not getting more ice time, so he played a tentative game. And then it's hard because every game he plays, he doesn't get the ice time to show what he's capable of doing. He goes down to the minors, plays 20-some minutes a night. When he came up this time, he was prepared. He was ready. He could play bigger minutes. And because of injuries, there's been a spot for him. And what he had to do is he had to come in and beat other players on his team out of those spots. There was nothing being given to him. And I think he's been excellent. He's played fantastic. Now, he can throw yesterday's game out because it was against an American Hockey League team. But in the other games, he's played well. He's put himself in the conversation. The only problem for Dylan Holloway is the Oilers are a good hockey club with a deep team. And you start thinking, Dylan Holloway, the way he's played, that guy deserves to be in the top nine. But then you look at the Oilers' top nine, you're like, huh, there's nobody in that top nine I want to move out. And then do we want Dylan Holloway playing on the fourth line? It's like, wow. Fourth line, those are role player guys that penalty kill. So Dylan Holloway is unfortunately in a numbers situation, and all he can do is go out there and play well, and he's done that. So I think he has given the coaching staff pause for where they think he can play moving forward, and I think it's going to all the fans and media, we're going to be kept guessing, because if the Canucks get another point, the Oilers do not have to put together a full lineup before the playoffs start. So it's still up in the air who we'll see in game 83, 4, 5, or 6 days from now, whenever that is, and whether or not Dylan Holloway makes the cut in game one. But I will say this, if Dylan Holloway plays or doesn't play in game one, we will see Dylan Holloway in the playoffs. He's played too well for them not to use him at some point.
You heard it here from Rob Brown. He joins us courtesy Montario Homes. He works with the Oilers Radio Network. He also works with Rashog and Stredwick over on the Got Your Back podcast. Now, the one thing that we haven't seen heading into the playoffs here, Rob, is really consistency with the lines. And in a sense, it's been nice to see a guy like Adam Henrique go with whomever and contribute with whomever. But I wonder, when you're looking at this, would you prefer some continuity going into game 83, or are you confident that these guys can pretty well mesh in an instant with whomever they need to come playoff time?
Well, it might be a little bit too late for continuity. There's two games left in the season,
right?
And every line has been new, really, for the last, for the first 80 games. So it's funny, we've discussed this with Shauger and Stradwick on our podcast, and Reed and I have talked about it on our show. The Oilers, are different than most teams. If you look back at all the Stanley Cup champions over the last number of years, you can see lines that have been together. And they weren't just put together in game 80 or game 79. They were lines that were together all season long, and some of them were lines for years. You think about Bergeron and Marchand, or you think about Kopitar played with Dustin Brown. I mean, that was just the way those teams were set up. The Oilers are intriguing because with Connor and Leon, they're so good together, yet they're so effective apart that you see different combinations all the time with the Oilers. So I don't believe the Oilers need the continuity, which is good because I don't think they're going to get it. And I think what you see with the Oilers is the situations in the game will dictate who plays with who. Would they always come out after a penalty kill with Connor, Leon, and Hyman? Doesn't matter if they're on the same line earlier in the game or not. That always comes together, which means the line after that usually is Nugent Hopkins with Kane and somebody. So this is an Oilers team that's used to it. So I don't think I know that we as media love talking about lines because it gives us something to talk about. But in all reality, the Oilers, whatever they start with on the first shift of the night, could be vastly changed by the first shift of the second period. And that I think, is the only continuity that you do see with the Oilers, is the ever-changing line.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's a really good response to that. Now, I'll ask you this to wrap things up. It looks like Vegas kind of holds the keys. If they want to go out and take care of business and knock off Chicago and Anaheim, which is probably easier done than said on some nights, you get the option to play in third, and that would meet them with Edmonton right out of the gate. From a player's perspective, is that something you'd want? Like, let's just go. I'm not waiting till round two. Let's get this and try and get our revenge here in round one from what happened last year.
Well, I think the Vegas Golden Knights will be stronger in round two than they will be in round one. I think that I don't know if Stone plays in round one, and if he does, this is a guy that's missed 6-7 weeks or whatever it is. So if he plays game one of the first series, He's not going to be as good as he will be in game one of the second series. Shame is Alex Pietrangelo, who's missed, I think, 7 of his last 11 games with illness. He'll be better, you know, 3 weeks from now than he is today. Hurdle just came back. He's had played 4 or 5 games or whatever it is after missing 8 weeks. So the Golden Knights, if they get through the first round, will be a much tougher out. So if you're going to play Vegas, I'd rather play them in the first round because they are still dealing with some injuries, still dealing with guys coming back from injuries. So I think that's a benefit for whoever plays with them. But the one thing that I just noticed last night, too, the Vancouver Canucks still actually, I believe, have a chance to win the conference. If Dallas loses to the St. Louis Blues, the Canucks could win back-to-back games, and they could actually win the conference, which then changes everything around again for what happens in the first round of the playoffs. But all in all, the Vegas Golden Knights, if they beat 2 bad hockey clubs in the next 2 games, will be the first-round opponent for the Oilers. And to me, that's the series I want to see. I don't care if it's in round one or in round two or even if it was in round three. That's a series that I want to see because that's 2 great teams going at it. And if you want to be the best, I think you have to beat the best. The Vegas Golden Knights, until someone beats them, are still the Stanley Cup champions.
I think that was Bret Hart, wasn't it? You want to be the man, you got to beat the man.
I don't know a lot of wrestling references, so I probably heard someone else say it too.
Yeah, fair enough. Rob, thanks so much. We look forward to hearing you tomorrow night setting that up.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, Rob Brown from the Oilers Radio Network. Him and Reed with the pregame coverage starting tomorrow. What time's puck drop? I don't even have that in front of me. If they're in Arizona, it's probably 7 o'clock. We'll figure it out. Maybe a good time to take a break. Get that, those couple of ducks in a row. But I will tell you, I do have this pre-thought. The Oilers Now Injury Report is brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Keeping an eye on the Evander Kane situation. He missed last night's game for another maintenance day. Didn't seem serious. Could have clarity as soon as tomorrow morning skate, which I think is at 11:30 in the morning our time. For Arizona, Travis Boyd out for the season with a torn pec, and Barrett Hayton is sidelined with a lower body injury. Thank you, Kellen. It's an 8 o'clock puck drop tomorrow. That means we'll be on the air at 5. Yeah, that checks out. 6:23 in Edmonton right now. We're back in a minute.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 6:30 Ched.
Just a reminder, if you've missed this, I don't blame you because it just happened about 25 minutes ago, but Philip Broberg officially got the recall by the Oilers. We will chat with the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors, Colin Chalk, after this next newscast and figure out just how good he's been. He's on pace for 37 points in 51 games. He's done that with 5 goals thus far in 48 American League games. But for Philip, it's about sort of handling the pace of the NHL and the physicality of it, I think, is where we've really seen him need to make some strides. So he looked pretty good taking the puck from one end of the ice to the other in overtime and winning the game on Friday. A lot easier to do that in the American League, though. So curious to hear more on him. And we hear a lot of comments about the cost of living, including the cost of vehicles. And at the same time, consumers are keeping their vehicles longer, and then those repair costs, well, those start to come into play. But the team at Brent Ridge Ford is working hard to help. They've assembled over 30 Escapes and Bronco Sports that can provide some reliable and affordable transportation. For fair and open vehicle ownership, call Rich, Johnny, or Uncle Milt 780-352-6048. Brent Ridge Ford on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. We'll step out. Randy Kilburn has one last newscast for you, and then we'll head down to the farm for our friends at Wave Bathroom Renovations.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.